Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Archery's podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. The Power of Geography by Tim Marshall is a guide to understanding how physical landscapes continue to shape modern politics, security, and economic competition. Building on the idea that mountains, rivers, deserts, seas, and climate influence what leaders can realistically do, Marshall uses map-based storytelling to connect geography to today's biggest strategic questions. The book focuses on 10 regions where shifting power dynamics are especially visible, explaining why some borders remain flashpoints, why certain countries prioritize sea lanes or buffer zones, and how resource distribution affects alliances. Rather than treating geopolitics as abstract theory, it emphasizes constraints and opportunities that come from terrain and location, and it shows how those realities interact with technology, demographics, and history. The result is an accessible overview of why global events often follow patterns that make more sense once you look at the map behind the headline. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, geography as the hidden engine of strategy. A central topic is that geography sets the stage on which politics and military planning operate. Marshall stresses that governments may have ambitious ideologies, but they still contend with choke points, navigable rivers, defensible mountain chains, open plains, and the simple problem of distance. These factors influence where populations cluster, how economies connect to global trade, and which borders feel vulnerable. The book frames maps as tools for spotting enduring strategic dilemmas, such as why some states seek strategic depth, why others rely on alliances to compensate for exposed terrain, and why access to warm water ports or secure sea routes can be existential. It also highlights how geography creates path dependency once infrastructure, ports, and cities develop around certain corridors. Nations often remain committed to protecting them. At the same time, it avoids claiming geography is destiny. Instead, it presents geography as a powerful constraint that interacts with leadership choices, technological change, and international systems. This approach helps readers interpret events not as isolated crises, but as moves within long-running geographic realities. Secondly, the Arctic and the rise of a new strategic frontier. One of the book's forward-looking themes is the Arctic as climate change alters accessibility and competition. As sea ice retreats seasonally, new shipping possibilities, resource exploration, and military considerations become more plausible. Marshall explores why Arctic geography matters to countries with northern coastlines and how proximity to potential routes can affect national strategies. The region's importance is not only about hydrocarbons or minerals, but also about surveillance, submarine operations, and the ability to project power along emerging corridors. The book connects the Arctic to broader geopolitical rivalry by showing how states weigh international law, continental shelves, and exclusive economic zones when staking claims. It also notes the practical limits, harsh conditions, infrastructure gaps, and the high costs of operating in extreme environments. By placing the Arctic alongside more traditional hotspots, the narrative argues that tomorrow's geopolitical map will not only be drawn in familiar seas and straits, but also in places where geography is changing in real time. This topic helps readers see climate as a strategic variable that amplifies competition rather than simply an environmental issue. The Sahel and North Africa as a corridor of instability and leverage. Marshall highlights the Sahel and North Africa as regions where geography, demography, and governance challenges intersect. The Sahel is a transitional belt between desert and more fertile lands, and its physical environment shapes livelihoods, migration patterns, and state capacity. The book explains how porous borders, vast distances, and difficult terrain complicate security operations and enable armed groups to move, recruit, and smuggle. It also connects the region to Europe and the Middle East through energy routes, migration pressures, and counterterrorism priorities. Geography matters here not because it offers clear defensive lines, but because it makes comprehensive control costly and fragile, especially for states with limited resources. The topic also addresses the strategic value of coastal North Africa, where proximity to European markets and sea lanes can be both an asset and a source of pressure. By emphasizing the map view, the book clarifies why international involvement often oscillates between crisis response and long-term stabilization efforts, and why durable solutions must consider water stress, urbanization, and the economic geography of trade corridors. Fourthly, the Middle East. After shifting energy and alliance patterns, the book examines how Middle Eastern geopolitics evolves as global energy markets change and regional rivalries persist. Geography remains central. Narrow maritime passages, desert buffers, and the location of key population centers shape security priorities and alliance behavior. Marshall discusses why external powers have historically focused on access to trade routes and energy flows, and how the balance may shift as some countries diversify energy sources or prioritize different theaters. yet the region's map still creates enduring flashpoints, from strategic waterways that can disrupt commerce to borders drawn across complex human geography. The narrative emphasizes that states respond not only to ideology but also to geographic exposure, seeking defensible depth, reliable partners, and influence over surrounding corridors. It also links internal stability to geographic factors such as water scarcity and the concentration of wealth and infrastructure in limited areas. By viewing the Middle East through maps, the reader can better understand why diplomatic breakthroughs are hard, why deterrence is a recurring theme, and why small geographic features can carry outsized strategic weight. Lastly, the Indo-Pacific sea lanes, choke points, and the contest for influence. A major topic is the Indo-Pacific as the center of global trade and a focal point for great power competition. Marshall explains how maritime geography shapes both prosperity and vulnerability. Economies depend on sea lanes that funnel through choke points, and naval reach becomes a key measure of influence. Archipelagos, narrow straits, and long coastlines create complex defense problems, encouraging investments in submarines, missile systems, and alliances that can secure or deny access. The book connects these map realities to diplomacy, showing why island chains and port access matter for basing, logistics, and credibility. It also considers how smaller states navigate between larger powers, using geography to gain leverage, protect autonomy, or attract investment. Importantly, the Indo-Pacific topic illustrates the blend of old and new, while trade routes and naval geography are classic drivers. Modern supply chains and technology intensify the stakes because disruption can ripple quickly across industries. This section equips readers to interpret regional headlines as parts of a broader struggle over the map of commerce and security. In conclusion, this book suits readers who follow international news and want a structured way to understand why events cluster in certain places and repeat in recognizable patterns. It is also useful for students of politics, history, and security studies who need an accessible bridge between academic geopolitics and real-world developments. The benefit is practical by learning to read the geographic constraints behind decisions. You can better judge what policies are feasible, which conflicts are likely to persist, and where emerging risks may come from, including climate-linked shifts such as the Arctic. Compared with many similar titles, Marshall's approach stands out for its map-driven clarity and its focus on forward-looking regions, rather than only revisiting well-known 20th-century case studies. The writing emphasizes explanation over jargon, making complex rivalries easier to track without oversimplifying the role of terrain, distance, and access. If you want a single, coherent framework for interpreting global power competition across multiple theaters, this book is worth buying because it provides durable mental models you can apply long after the news cycle changes. If you would like to support Tim Marshall, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.